The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing this episode with a friend. And thank you, everyone, who sent us all the positive comments about the Call of Cthulhu adventure. I'm glad that everyone enjoyed that throughout the very end. It was certainly a different campaign session for us. And speaking of campaigns, we've got a whole other one still to go before we get back into Rodrigo's game. And our new game that we'll be taking a look at for the next couple of weeks is Pathfinder. And Sam's going to be running a Pathfinder adventure. So, hey, Sam.
Hi.
Are you ready to take on Pathfinder?
I love Pathfinder, and I've been playing it basically for many years. So I'm excited to expose really you guys and our listeners to Pathfinder.
Excellent. And so one of the other things that we always do when we're getting into some of these new games is we spend some time setting up a character. Mm-hmm. When we've done Dungeons & Dragons, I've done a character setup. I believe we did a character setup with Matthew before. Of course, in Call of Cthulhu, it was kind of a group, here's a surprise kind of thing. And when we did Fate, everybody kind of created their characters together. So this time it's now up to Brian to build a character for this Pathfinder adventure that Sam's going to put us together. So, Sam, I'm going to turn it over to you. But I guess the question that I have is, and maybe this is also one for the listeners as well, what do you use to build your Pathfinder character? Because there are things available on the web. There are applications. I found one that I'm particularly fond of called PC Gen, which basically steps you through the creation process for Pathfinder and Dungeons & Dragons, a bunch of different systems. I like that one. Some people use pen and paper in the book. So which one do you prefer, Sam? And Brian, which one are you using?
I've alternated. My first Pathfinder characters were pen and paper. And even the ones that I've got going for a long time, I still have the basic stats on pen and paper. And then I have Google Docs that have all their more complicated things, like their spell lists and things like that. But I have been fond of this Modacrosh's Eldritch Online character sheet. It's a character sheet that's linked up with Google, so you can create it and log in and have all many different character sheets there for you. And it's not like it doesn't do as much of the math for you as say the PC Gen thing that you found, which is mm-hmm. super neat, mm-hmm. But a little bit finicky if you have any house rules.
Right.
So what I like about this version is that it's a little bit more flexible if you have, say, things that you want to just insert in. It has lots of room for notes and things like that.
Okay, cool. Well, why don't we just I'll put some links to some of the things that we were just talking about mm-hmm. In the show notes for people to go and check out. And certainly, listeners, I would love to find out what you are using to create your characters. I think for me personally, because it's a new system, I like to have something that will walk me through it, or to have our GM like Samantha walk Brian through this character creation process. So take it away, Sam.
Sure. So Pathfinder, for a little bit of background, is created through the open source gaming license. And so it uses a lot of the rules of 3.5 D&D. So it's going to be very familiar to people who have played 3.5, although there are plenty of changes. And those are just kind of more different as this game has developed since it first was released. And so one of the reasons I wanted to have Brian on was because he is actually going to be playing a character in this game called a Vigilante, which is mm-hmm. a unique to Pathfinder character. It doesn't exist any edition of 3.5. And Vigilante was released in a book called that was devoted entirely to intrigue and social plots. And mm-hmm. they are the class you play if you want to be Batman. It is... entirely, you have very clearly your secret identity and your vigilante identity, although there are some that don't have a secret identity if you, I guess, want to be like Captain America or Iron Man, mm-hmm. who's, you know. But and you have like one aspect in which you're super social and are an intriguey character, and another aspect where you fight crime. And so as soon as I said I wanted to run Pathfinder, Brian was super excited about playing a vigilante. And what was it that caught your eye about the class to begin with?
Just mostly the talk I saw on, I usually frequent RPG.net, and yeah, just the playtest document when it came out. Some people were amused by some of the options that they ended up developing for that class. I know there's like the magical child thing, which I'm not being, but just the fact that it allowed for that kind of thing to be introduced into D&D just amused me.
I already had Brian do some of the basic work ahead of time. We, as opposed to, say, the fourth ed system, which is entirely point by, Pathfinder does allow you to do point by, but for the purposes of this game, we did rolled stats in a system I'm fairly happy with, which is we rolled 46 seven times, and each time you rolled 46, you dropped the lowest so that you got your ability scores. And I think Brian already rolled them up and got a pretty good stat array, especially for a vigilante, which are pretty multi-stat dependent on his first go around.
Yeah, that's the kind of like the biggest thing is like they do seem to have a bit of a multiple attribute dependency here, especially if you're trying to cover the bases for both your vigilante and your social identities.
And yeah, and one thing I do like really like about vigilante is that unlike some classes like rogues, where rogues tend to have rogue talents, and they can have and again, rogue talents I suppose are new to Pathfinder, and I should explain a little bit about how Pathfinder classes work. So there are many Pathfinder classes that are entirely unique to the game. Brian is playing a vigilante, and there will be one other entirely unique class to Pathfinder that is showcased in the game. But other classes, they just kind of rewrote. Paizo, which is the maker of Pathfinder, mostly they didn't like the way Dungeons & Dragons, specifically 3.5 D&D, forces you, or at least highly encourages you, to take prestige classes, often as fast as humanly possible, because a lot of the baseline, you know, 1 through 20 classes don't offer much beyond the first, say, five levels. And so then you just want to take a prestige class that will give you something shiny along with whatever it is that you were doing before. So like a wizard will keep getting his spells while also becoming initiated a sevenfold veil and being able to make magical rainbow walls. Pathfinder wanted to get around that, so they tried to make no dead levels was one of their philosophies. So every level you're going to get something. So like rogues get special talents that they can be social things or things that let them stab people better. That can cause a kind of problem for players who want to be good at multiple things because they are forcing a trade-off. Vigilante explicitly doesn't do that. They say you have, on some levels you're going to get your social talent, and on some levels you're going to get your combat talent, and there's not a trade-off. They're going to help you. You're going to get both, which I really like about that class. And so, why don't you talk to me a little bit about your build. You're going to be a human?
Yep, human, vigilante. Going with the, I don't even remember what the two options are called.
There's a stalker is the more social one. And then I believe, let me take a look what the fighter one. So like the stalker one is more like your classic rogue. And yeah, so it's a vigilante specialization is what we're calling these. And the other one is, I'm looking this up right now. It gives you a full base attack as opposed to partial. Avenger or stalker?
Avenger, yes.
So you're going to be an Avenger.
Yeah, I did decide I wanted to go the more punchy route of being the Avenger stalker.
Although, or the Avenger vigilante. This is really funny. As I was talking to you, I looked up vigilante because I wanted to have that handy and came up with a archetype. And I know you'd looked at some of the archetypes, but I was wondering if you'd looked at the hangman archetype, because considering what I know about your character, I think it would be very interesting to you.
No, I did not see that. What is that from?
It's a Paizo archetype. Let me see where they printed this. I'm looking at d20pfsrd.com, which is a wonderful resource. Again, because Pathfinder is based on the open source gaming license, they're very open about letting their rules be to put out there. And so you can always look them up pretty easily online. So this was apparently printed in the Horror Game Adventures. So
Horror Adventures. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And it basically sounds to be exactly what you were looking for.
It really does.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we'll go ahead and go with that because, yeah, that second level ability is pretty much exactly what I was wanting there.
Right? So that does require you to be a stalker specialization, but I think it's well worth it. And also, Bound to Truth is such a funny, hilarious ability. Brian came to me and he said he wanted to play a vigilante whose signature weapon was specifically a noose that he was going to use as a lasso. And apparently Paizo, he was not the first person to have this idea because Paizo came up with a whole archetype based around that.
Yeah.
Archetypes, again, to explain, they're not quite prestige classes. They're more like a tweak to rebuild your character. They're a little bit about if you think of fourth ed or fifth ed and how different classes have different builds. Mm-hmm. So you can be like a Fae Pact Warlock or Star Pact Warlock. There we go. Although I guess that's more a little like how Pathfinder does sorcerers, but you know, more, I guess for the fifth ed version, it would be like different types of rogue. Like you could be a normal cutty rogue, or you could be an arcane trickster rogue. Mm. Archetypes, they take out some of your base class features and replace them with different class features so that you can have like a really deep diversity in different builds of the same class. So in this case, this one takes away some of your vigilante talents and some other vigilante abilities and instead gives you all of these effects that are pertaining to lassoing people.
Yeah, that does. I'm just reading through it now and I don't see any issues here. In fact, it just pretty much does what I was trying to do a lot easier.
Great.
I don't need the extra proficiency because that just
comes with it.
Yeah,
it specifically lets you use it as both a net or a whip,
which we talked about doing anyways. Yeah.
So great. That's really good when I don't have to fudge the rules because they already came up with a way for me to do it anyways.
I get improved grapple. Nice.
Yeah, that's good work, Paizo. And you get to Zone of Truth people at level 3, which is great because then you get to last of people like Wonder Woman and they have to tell you things.
Real quick question, Sam. We're starting our characters at level 2. And when we were working with the 5th edition stuff a couple of years ago, a lot of people were telling us, oh, yeah, skip level 1 on all your characters because it's basically a waste of time. Is that what's going on here with Pathfinder?
It's a little bit of that. I find level 1 is problematic in a lot of ways. I find a lot of people don't really enjoy level 1 because it's hard to get your character going. Usually you need like a little bit of either character abilities or feats or things like that to feel good about yourself. You know, there are a lot of characters like rogues that don't even start with a point of base attack at level 1, even though they're supposed to be very combat focused. The other problem with level 1 is that you have very few hit points. And so it's just really unfortunately easy for a fight to go sideways at level 1 if you just have some bad luck and then everyone's dead. Mm-hmm. And that's not really what I wanted your first Pathfinder experience to be.
Okay. So.
And considering the backstory, I thought that it would be cool for everyone to have a little bit of history walking in. Mm-hmm. And so as opposed to just being, you know, total newbies to the world of heroism, I think this way everyone's got a little bit of a past that they can come up with. That's their level 1 adventures for themselves.
Excellent. Thank you.
Of course. I don't know how far you've gotten on your own, Brian, in terms of have you picked what kind of feats you're taking?
No, not feats so much.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much had the talents picked, but don't have to worry about one of those now. But I still want to go with the renown for the social talent.
Yeah, and renown is super neat. It's a vigilante ability that it means that everyone in town knows who, like, has heard of your secret identity. So it's, you know, again, to use the Batman metaphor, it's all the criminals being like, have you heard about the bat? and then it eventually can lead to other things where, like, you start having allies because people know of your antics and will help you get criminal scum off the streets and such. So, I would recommend taking a look at some feats, especially now that we're looking at this archetype that maybe chain off of the whip things, since we talked about those a bit. I want to say improved whip is the one that does some really interesting things when you're using it for grappling.
All right.
And Brian, you're looking on this on the D20 PFSRD website?
Yeah, SRD. Okay. I have been predominantly looking just in the Ultimate Intrigue book, which is why I didn't realize there was this hangman archetype.
Yeah, but it's one of those things. Like, I didn't realize it until just now. But again, a thing I like about the SRD is that it kind of compiles all of this because there are so many books. And as much as I love pulling out a book and looking through art and looking through like the fluff, sometimes having just all of it compressed in a really nice searchable format is very helpful.
Okay. So let's see. With whip mastery, weapon focus, base attack bonus 2. Would my base attack bonus be now? Just a plus 1.
Yeah, yours would just be 1 right now, yeah. So you'll have to wait on that.
And let's see. But I can take a weapon focus at least, so I can be proficient with some later thing. Well,
yeah,
even
weapon
at
focus
level
is
2. Do I get feats at level 2 or just
no,
both at level
so
1?
No, so Pathfinder
okay.
gets feats on the odd. So you'll start with 2 feats, 1 for being a human and 1 for being
that
level
everyone
1.
Gets, yeah.
And then, weapon focus is a strong pick. Another very real option is, it would be weapon finesse. Because as we've discussed, vigilantes are very multi-ability score dependent. So if you want, you could potentially
attack
use
with my dex.
Yeah, exactly. Attack with your dex. Now, I know we'd previously also talked about you doing some unarmed attacking, which is for anything that you can't, say, get in with a noose, which is good if you ever fight, like, I don't know, a monster that's too big to be wrapped around with a noose.
Yeah, and a lot of that was just looking at the vigilante talents. A lot of them did seem to be pretty melee and unarmed focused.
Again,
now with this new archetype,
I've just blown your mind.
No real prerequisites for weapon finesse. I'm gonna go ahead and say that's probably a good one too, with a light weapon, dexterity instead of your strength on attack rolls. And just go ahead and switch my strength down to probably my lowest stat, because I had that up.
And natural weapons are considered light weapons, so your weapon finesse would apply to your fists as well. So,
yes.
So, yeah, I would say use your weapon finesse and be able to, then not have to worry about one having that stat. So then you can have your like 16s. I believe you had 2 of those.
Just one. 16,
oh, just
15.
One?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 15. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. So maybe like the 16 in dex and turn that into an 18 with your cumin plus 2. And then put like the 15 in charisma, since I assume you're going to want to take a lot of social skills.
Yes. That's pretty much what I was thinking. Then int at the 14.
Yep, that sounds great.
Con
13. Yeah, vigilantes are 6 plus int class, plus you're a human, so you're going to get an extra skill point every level, which is always nice.
So, yep, a dex of 18 with the human bonus. And so I'd probably still want to get a weapon proficiency unarmed.
Yes, that would be improved unarmed strike, I believe, is what...
Unarmed. Okay.
That the feat that does that. So let me see if there's any vigilante. Oh no, you only get a social talent at level 1.
Yeah.
So yeah, is there a vigilante talent that gives you improved unarmed strike?
Let me
looking at
make
that
sure.
now. Yeah, vigilante talents are so funny.
Gains improved unarmed strike with the Fist of the Avenger. Only an Avenger vigilante can select this talent.
Oh, boo.
Yep. So yeah, I thought there was, but yeah, oh well. So I think I'll just go ahead and use my second feat for that.
Okay.
Just to have my bases covered.
Seems reasonable.
And yeah, so weapon finesse and improved unarmed strike.
Yep, that seems totally great.
So my strength of 10, 11 for the wisdom. So that's pretty much the stats. And so, yeah, I said I want to do renown for my social talent. So basically skills would really be the only thing I'd need to, well, I guess equipment too. But
sure. So yeah, let's talk skills. So you get 6 plus int mod, plus you're a human, so you get plus 1. And do you have the book handy 9. About what the favored class bonuses are for vigilante, for what a human vigilante gets?
I got the book here. Seeing where is that at? That being the, let's see, role alignment. I believe it's like a buff to the disguise or something.
Oh, sure.
Like that.
All right. So I think you're probably going to be better off just taking the skill points then, because that's not a very impressive ability. So another thing that Pathfinder does, it's in a sort of way to deter multiclassing, is that every character chooses a favored class when they start off. And then if every time they take said class, they get a favored class benefit. So that can always be either a hit point or a skill point, or each class race combination has a special favored class bonus attached to it, and those vary wildly in quality. So
there it is. Yeah, gain one half plus a half on the disguise bonus provided by seamless disguise. So
yeah, man. Seamless guise is already going to be bonkers. Yeah. So I don't think you really need that. Seamless guise is the thing that makes it, you know,
so
impossible for people to tell that he's secretly the vigilante. Yep. He can attempt a disguise check with a plus 20 circumstance bonus to appear as his current identity and not as his other identity. So people really don't want to believe Clark Kent is Superman.
So 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah. So yeah, we're looking at 9 skill points. So you've got a great, great skill list. I would recommend a lot of the social skills, so like your bluff, diplomacy,
face punching, you know, all the social skills.
Yeah, you don't need skill points for that. That's handled by base attack bonus.
Sense motive.
Yep. And what's it called? Stealth. I would highly recommend stealth. And intimidate and disguise are both really good for vigilantes.
Intimidate sounds good.
Maybe. Oh, and perception is always excellent if you ever want to find someone hiding.
Let's see. I wanted a profession.
Yes. Oh, so we talked about that. I believe you were going to go with knowledge engineering to be your professional skill. And I'm running background skills, which is a optional rule in Pathfinder. There's basically, it's to help your character be a little bit more well-rounded. They've provided a list of background skills, which are skills that aren't the most useful in combat. So a lot of your kind of knowledges or professions or things like that. And every time you level, you get 2 background skills. So you can put some of the, I think profession engineering is one of those. So yeah, your knowledge engineering would be one of those, though I would also take knowledge local.
Knowledge local? Okay.
Yeah, well, as your as one of your adventuring skills, as that's not a background skill.
So is that just knowledge about your local area?
Yeah,
yep,
local
exactly.
area knowledge. Yeah.
But his character has been in the place where this game is going to be set for a bit, so he can be in some ways your local guide, knowing who the local players are.
Double checking here. Ooh, acrobatics might be.
Yeah, acrobatics is an adventuring skill, which I also think is great because that's the skill you're going to want to use. It's basically how tumble works in 3.5. Trying to think of some other good. So another good background skill might be linguistics. You could speak a. Although you're going to have, I think, 2 free languages, so that's probably actually enough.
Ride for. reasons.
Yeah, you should definitely have a ride. That's a really good point. But that's also an adventuring skill. Sleight of hand could be one of your background skills. That's, I think, a fun skill for a vigilante to have.
Okay, I already got stealth. Yeah, I'll do that. So, yeah, I should have basically 9 skills plus the 2 for the, what was the role?
Background.
Background.
Cool.
So, yep, I got those selected.
Great. And then after that, you're going to, your second level, so you'll have a base attack bonus of 1 and a plus 3 bonus to both your ref and will saves. Sadly, no bonus to your fort save as of yet.
And I have a dex mod of 4, so let's say I'm proficient with medium, am I not? Let's see. Let me make sure the archetype doesn't.
I believe you are proficient with medium, but you're probably not going to wear it considering your dex mod. You're going to want to wear, like, leather or studded leather, and possibly just leather, because, I mean, I guess it really depends on what you want to do. The studded leather is going to give you an armor check penalty, but it will be a little bit better armor.
I think, yeah, I would basically do whatever will give me the best armor class. So what does have, like, a dex limit of 4?
Yep. So, yeah, your dex will be 4, so I would say studded leather then.
Studded leather. All right.
Well, studded leather has a dex limit of 4, correct?
I'd have to find that.
Let me double check on armor. Sorry. Armor and shields.
So that has a plus 4 max dex bonus then. Yeah.
Yeah, it has a plus 5 max dex bonus, oh, okay. So you are good.
All right.
I guess you could also, we're gonna go with that because I think that's better for reasons like you could do a chain shirt, but that's gonna be getting into a minus 2 armor check penalty, which is gonna make your stealth a lot worse.
All right. So stud leather is minus 1 check penalty.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll go with it.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, I guess you've got like a. Sorry, were you saying something, Steven?
Nope, I'm good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I mean, it's actually really up to you. You could have it's plus 1 to armor versus minus 1 to all your dex skills.
What is the bonus that the armor itself gives? Where's this table?
So studded leather gives you plus 3, whereas chain shirt gives you plus 4.
Ah. Let me just see.
Yeah. And there's always the possibility that your dex can go up. You're going to get, I guess your dex is even, but, you know, stat buff items do exist in this game. So.
Let's see, chain shirt is minus 2. I just found a chart, so I'm just looking here.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. Because, I wouldn't necessarily recommend medium armor, even though you can have it, because it's going to reduce your speed to 20 and. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's something you're going to want.
Probably not, no. I'm trying to decide if I do want it. No, I think I like the plus 3 range. So, yeah, I think I'll go with the studded leather with the minus 1 check penalty.
I like it. And, you know, adventuring will be happening. Better armor may come your way. No promises. So,
fair enough. So, yep. Apparently, noose for weapon.
Yep.
Might want to... pick some sort of a range, though.
Yeah, so, I mean, you'll be using the stats for a whip for that, considering that's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
You might want a ranged weapon. Mm. Well, we can, there are ranged weapons that are setting appropriate, and I think you could have one of those.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that, why not? Would be a good idea.
Yeah, as they will also use your dex, so. I'm being cryptic. And then I think that's basically, I mean, other... gear you can kind of just extrapolate from level 2. You know, you can have any adventuring gear you want. Again, because since your character is going to be in town, you're all actually have like a place to stay mm-hmm. and like you can keep your gear. So, you know, consider yourself to have all the basics you would want. If you want anything particularly weird, let me know. And I am giving out a little bit of extra loot to everyone. So I will let you know what yours is when we are off the air, because it will be a secret.
Okay. I think, yeah, that should largely be it.
Cool.
So you're done? You got it created?
Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, I'll find some form-filled PDF later to make it a bit fancy so I can send mm-hmm. you
yeah.
the full correlated stats. But yeah.
Yeah. The one that Sam was talking about earlier, I forgot what the website was now, Sam. It is charactersheet.co.uk/pathfinder.
Correct. Yep.
That one's pretty cool as far as, you know, just dumping stuff into.
Okay.
It's simple to use, and you can create a downloadable character sheet very easy. Whereas, like the one that Steven has, you have to actually like have this program to be able to open up someone's character sheet in it.
Actually, I can also export it as a PDF, so I can send that to you that way. And I think, because this is the question that I was going to have next, I know it's up on the website, and I have to do some research. When we were playing previously, because we're going to be using Roll20, you had figured out a way to get all of your spells and attacks and everything. Well, not spells, because you're a rogue.
Yes.
But you were able to get all your attacks right into the Roll20. I think you can do the same thing with the PC gen, is just export it and then import everything into Roll20. And it's all right there. So, yeah, I can export this into a bunch of different formats to you, including a PDF to you. But I just figured, since you had the application too, if you needed to make any changes to mine, it would be easy for you to just do that, save it, and then send it back to me.
See how you're working it out. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. So I think, what are some big differences that we're going to notice when we play Pathfinder? It's especially when it comes to combat, it's basically move, standard, and a minor, right?
Yeah. So it's pretty similar to what you have come to understand from Dungeons and Dragons. There are a few changes that you'll need to calculate on your characters. So, yeah, we didn't go over this, but you'll need to calculate your CMB and CMD, which are basically and that's especially relevant to you since you're going to be grappling people with your lasso.
Yep.
So because, as anyone who's played any amount of D&D knows, grappling is a, unholy nightmare, the Pathfinder has tried to simplify that, by giving you a static defense that you use anytime you're being subject to, a grapple or being tripped or disarmed, any of your classic D&D combat maneuvers. And then similarly, you just have one number, that is your bonus to those sort of rolls. So it's not like these opposed rolls or weird +4 hitting your touch AC situations that it was in 3.5, which is nice, although it's just like a little bit of initial startup work to figure out what that ability is. And then once that's done, it's a lot easier.
Now, do attacks only attack AC?
Yes.
Because I was going through. And here's the other thing for people that haven't played Pathfinder before but are interested in Pathfinder. If you go over to Humble Bundle, okay, this is where I would suggest you do it. Humble Bundle, and do a search for their Pathfinder settings. It says that it's over, although I just found out that if you do the search for the Pathfinder Worldscape, they have a new one going on. And it seems like they have new ones going on all the time. You can literally get the base bundle, the starter set, the Pathfinder main game, the GM guide, and I think the expansion one that is where my character is based out of, Sam, you could get that for nothing if you wanted, as little as $1, or you could go up to like $25 plus, and you could get everything that Paizo releases, as well as a bunch of comic books in the Pathfinder universe. Over, I think the current one that's going on as of this recording, it's something like $400 worth of stuff for like $25, and it is a quite the deal.
I'm really considering getting it because it does have the Iron Gods Adventure Path.
Oh yeah,
The Numeria focused.
I initially actually suggested running when I said I was going to run Pathfinder, that adventure path, but sadly, Brian had already read it.
I just like the first book. I haven't gotten the rest, which is why I really want to get this. But
well,
it does
then
have
clearly
the...
you have to read it and then run it for the rest of us.
Yeah, there you go. But going back to, because I was going through the manual, and it's a great way to get a PDF of the manual for a cheap price, but I was going through the combat earlier, and I was like, wait, we're only attacking armor class? Wow, this is going to be so much easier.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's yes and no. Again, it kind of goes back to the 3-5 rules where you are only attacking armor class, though there are going to be different attacks that attack different forms of armor class. So your base armor class is the armor class that includes everything. It's your dex and your armor, whereas there's your flat-footed armor class, which is you're caught flat-footed, so your dex doesn't apply. Whereas there's your touch armor class, which is someone who's just reaching out and touching you, and your armor doesn't apply.
I see. I'm looking on my sheet now, and I see that. Total, touch, flat, base, bonuses, so, miscellaneous bonuses. And when it comes to my grappling, my CMB and my CMD are auto-calculated in, Brian. So I don't have to worry about doing that, which is another nice thing if you don't like maths and you're building your characters.
Well, hopefully I won't have to be hog-tying you as it is.
Well, hopefully not. Well, now that you've said it,
all right,
go to town. Go to town, slash fiction people.
Yeah.
Anything else that we need to go over, Sam, before we go into our next game next week and we meet all of the characters and the setting in this world that that we're playing in?
Well, I'm going to save the setting and the world for next week.
Excellent.
Although I will say that it is one of my own creation, although inspired by several things.
Right.
But it is not a canon Pathfinder setting or world.
Okay. And, you know, a lot of people tend to do that where they want to create their own world and kind of skin everything through that. I think it's perfectly fine because it does show that you can use a game system beyond the high fantasy concept or the cyber, you know, space setup that they've developed the system around. So yeah, I'm totally looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to it as well. One thing, again, I like about Pathfinder is it's an incredibly versatile system because the creators have created a really excellent game world with lots of space in it. And there's space for all sorts of, if you want to have a horror adventure, they've got a place for that. If you want to have a sci-fi computer aliens adventure, they've got a space for that. And if you want to have like a classic pulp adventure where you're fighting like mummies in ancient Egypt, they've got a space for that.
Ooh, so. I didn't know we could do this in ancient Egypt fighting mummies.
Oh, yeah. There's like a whole...
We just finished Under the Pyramid not too long ago for the Munchkin Land show. I think we're all done with fighting mummies for a while.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else, then next week we will kick off our brand new game, and I'm hoping that you will enjoy it and have so much fun. If you have any questions, podcast@majorspoilers.com. That's where you can send them to. Of course, you can use the comment section over at Major Spoilers to share your thoughts and ideas, and we do ask that you keep them positive, even if you are providing criticism. There's a positive way to do that and a not-so-positive way to do that. If you enjoy the show and everything that we do at Major Spoilers, the last thing that you could do for us this week is head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. That's patreon.com/majorspoilers, where you can sign up for as little as $1 an episode per month. So it's like $4 or less. You could even do $2 if you wanted, 50 cents an episode. And not only do you get to keep this show alive and everything that we do at Major Spoilers, there's also bonus content there as well, including character sheets, including original artwork, memberships, cards, t-shirts, and a whole lot more. That's at patreon.com/majorspoilers. For Sam and Brian, I'm Stephen Schleicher, and until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.